Salam be upon the ones who sacrificed their lives at Karbala. Salam be upon the ones.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our beautiful silsila, Blessings of Sahaba and the Ahle Bayt. This is the first time you joined our silsila, inshallah. So then we've been talking about the beautiful seerat of the Sahaba Ikram, the Ahle Bayt. Who are the Ahle Bayt? And yesterday we were talking about the love between the Sahaba Ikram and the Ahle Bayt. Today, inshallah, Azawajal, another beautiful topic we brought for you today. Inshallah, Azawajal, we'll be discussing about the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards his grandsons, yani Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and also the love the Sahaba Ikram had for Hassanain Kareemain. Please stay with us during the silsila. And this is a family silsila, alhamdulillah, Azawajal, because we're talking about the Ahle Bayt of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And as we were discussing the other day, not many people know the names of the Ahle Bayt. Not many people know what Ahle Bayt means. And this is a very, very important program, very important silsila for the whole family, especially for the parents and the children. So if you're sat at home and your children are playing about somewhere, bring them, sit, make them sit in front of the TV. Inshallah, Azawajal, I guarantee you, they will learn something. And inshallah, Azawajal, that love of the Ahle Bayt and the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will inshallah Azawajal be in their hearts. As usual, let's start with the beautiful recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ta'ala
ala Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. فتحنا لك فتحا مبينا ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عليما حكيما ليدخل المؤمنين والمؤمنات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ويكفر عنهم سيئاتهم وكان ذلك عند الله فوزا عظيما آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم.
Inshallah, Azawajal, we're going to listen to a beautiful kalam. Again, my dear Islam brothers, let me reiterate this again. If you're with your family, then please I request and urge you, just for a short while, leave everything that you are doing, sit in front of the TV, because it's a very beautiful subject we're going to learn today. So let's listen to the kalam first, and then inshallah we'll come to our main topic today. Ji, ya Azawajal, mashallah. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
کہ اللہ عز و جل کی رضا حاصل کرنے اور اس کے پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم کی خوشنودی حاصل کرنے کے لیے انشاءاللہ عز و جل نعت شریف پڑھیں گے اور سنیں گے میرے ساتھ درود پاک پڑھ لیجئے
صلي على محمد صلي على شفيعنا صلي على محمد حمدي مدینے جائیں گے آج نہیں تو کل سہی ہم بھی مدینے جائیں گے آج نہیں تو سہی آقا ہمیں بلائیں گے آقا ہمیں بلائیں گے تو کل صلی علی محمد
کریں پیدا کی سے کا
کے ہجر مدینہ مجھ کو رکھے بے قرار تاج کے ہجر مدینہ مجھ کو رکھے بے قرار سے نہیں آئے نہ مجھ کو یاد پیدا کے بغیر حسنین کے نانا حسنین کے نانا حسنین کے نانا حسنین کے نانا زہرا پاک کے زہرا پاک کے زہرا پاک کے صدقے میں ہم سب کو مدینے بلانا حسنین کے نانا حسنین کے نانا حسنین کے نانا کے نانا یا نبی اب تو مدینے میں مجھے بلوائیے یا نبی اب تو مدینے میں ہمیں بلوائیے ہو ادب پھر آپ کی گلیوں کی خیر ہو میسر با ادب پھر آپ کی گلیوں کی سیر کاش پیدا میں کاش پیدا میں شہادت عطا ہو جائے جان جلوائے محبوب میں انجام میرا ہو بخیر حسنین کے نانا حسنین کے نانا زہرا کے بابا اے حسنین کے نانا یا نبی بولو یا نبی سب کو مدینے بلانا حسنین کے نانا اے حسنین کے نانا
انشاءاللہ عزوجل we're going to be talking about Sayyiduna Hasanain Kareem radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a lot of love for his grandsons. Now here, because when we say the word grandsons, in English there is no other name for it, grandsons. Lekin in Urdu you say nawase or phir pote potiyan. So it's when we say grandsons, it means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's daughter Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, her sons we are going to be talking about. Just wanted to clarify that. So inshallah azza wa jal, there's a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrated by Hazrat Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was asked that which of the people of your family do you love the most, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he replied, al Hasan and Hussein. And he used to say to Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha that call my two sons for me. And then when Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not only would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam kiss them, he would hug them and he would smell them as well. You know, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that they are my flowers.
It is a hadith narrated by Hazrat Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that indeed Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Imam Hussein radiyallahu anhuma, they are both my flowers of this dunya.
Subhanallah.
Now, and the amount of love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed them is unimaginable. But it's not restricted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the beautiful thing about it.
Inshallah.
Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, the love he showed to them.
Subhanallah.
But again, it's not restricted to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself showed love to Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. How inshallah we learn today. But coming to that, people like different things.
Indeed.
You know, especially flowers, everyone loves flowers. Some people like roses, some carnations, some tulips, whatever it is. People like different types of flowers.
Indeed.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his flower? for his flowers, they were Imam Hassan Mountain. Allah Hazrat Rahmullah says, he says, kya baat raza, is chumnistani karam ki, zahra hai kali jisme Hussein aur Hassan phool hai.
By chumnistan, do you mean the garden?
Chumnistan refers to a garden, he can say the Ahl-e Bayt.
Subhanallah.
He can say it represents the Ahl-e Bayt or the orchard.
Subhanallah.
Zahra, one thing it refers to the Fatima of Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. That was her name. Another thing, Zahra also means flower. So Zahra hai kali, she is the stem. Yes. Or the, you know, before the flower blossoms. Yes. That's what's known as kali in Urdu.
Yes.
And Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are the flowers of
Subhanallah, yes. Subhanallah. Ji Harun bhai, mashallah, so a very beautiful topic.
Rakasallahu alayhi wa sallam said, teach three things to your children. Now this is very, very important, and I want the viewers of Madni Channel to listen to this very carefully and to try and remember it. Teach three things to your children. One, devotion to their blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second, devotion to his Ahl-e Bayt. And three, recitation of the Holy Quran.
Subhanallah.
That hadith of Barakah, Shabazz Bhai, it sets the base, not only for our iman, but for our topic of today.
It does. You see, the beautiful thing about that is the Prophet mentioned three things. The first one was the Hubbu Nabiyyin, the love of the Messenger. Hubbi Ahl-e Bayt, the love of the Ahl-e Bayt. And then it was Qira'at al-Quran. And then the recitation of the Quran. Three things. But before the Quran all came, the Ahl-e Bayt.
Allah.
Before the Ahl-e Bayt all came, the love of the Prophet.
Subhanallah.
So in essence, it is the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which everybody requires.
Sure.
Just to analyze that, Shabazz Bhai, it's very important to stand back and look at the bigger picture. Anything that is remotely associated with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ashikari Rasul, the devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, love that thing.
Alhamdulillah.
So, anything that is remotely connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that becomes the star of our eyes. Then you move on. Those things that Aka sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed their opinion, I like this. Those who love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam love those things. So that's kind of starting stage by stage. Then there are those actions which Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, and those are the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the more we love Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more we adopt them. So that's another category. And there are many, the old Mike Ram have written, but I'm just going to name a couple more. Then there is, for example, anything associated with Medina Shifa. Medina Park, just of Medina Shifa as well. And there's the famous Hadith of Mubarakah, which we've mentioned before, where Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is traveling back and the wind is blowing and the blessed companions are covering their mouth, and Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't do that, even the dust of Medina Shifa.
Subhanallah.
So, those who love the dust of Medina, to the extent that Amir al-Sun Bawzra Katmul Aliyah says that we should love even the dogs in the streets of Medina.
Subhanallah.
This is the Ashkan Rasul. Now that's a different category. Then we get on to those things that love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love them for the sake that they love Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, these are things like Mount Uhud. Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it loves me and I love it. So, we love Mount Uhud. Why? Because it loves Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, we're gradually increasing. Now, at the moment, I'm talking about everything that is connected to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that loves Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we love it. Now, what about that thing that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I love. And Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time that they spent, they expressed time and time again, love.
There's only 7 mentioned about Imam Hassan al-Anhu when the Prophet left his world for the eternal world, that he was 7 years of age. And Imam Hussein al-Anhu that he was 6.
Allah. But in that time, how many hadith of Mubarakah are there where Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I love them. These are my two flowers.
I think the question is, which book? Because I was, Ramadan Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I was thinking, which book did they not mention?
Allah.
No.
Just following that through, Abhisattva, you know the different categories of Ishq and Muhabbat. And if there's anything that you have to love, if you follow that through, then the Husnain Kareemain are the two hasties that Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only proclaimed his love for sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also showed his love in that Akka sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to play with them, used to smell them.
And whenever you mention the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever the topic of love, you know, it's a huge topic, and especially that we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his ummatis, he loved his companions. But when it comes to his Ahle Bayt, you know, there's, you know, so many riwayats of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even to an extent that even in ibadah, you know, you are worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. Very famous waqia where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in sajda, and Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he climbs on top of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and out of love and devotion for him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he extends his sajda. Why? Because he doesn't want him to be hurt.
Extent of love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for these princes was amazing. And this is what is important to understand when we talk about the love of the Ahlul Bayt in the Ahlul Bayt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From what I have seen, and Shabazz bhai, you are the learned scholar, you will correct me, but I have not seen so many hadith mubarakah in relation to the love of any particular member of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you see in relation to Hazrat Imam Hassan, Hazrat Imam Hussain radhi Allahu
anhu. A very important hadith pak that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved Sayyidina Imam Hussain radhi Allahu anhu so much that he even was he sacrificed his own son.
Allah.
Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Jibreel alayhi salam came and he says, O Prophet of Allah, choose one of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he chose Hazrat Imam Hussain.
You know, the extent of the love you can gather from this beautiful hadith and barakah, and it's narrated again by the great Hazrat Umar Farooq. And he says that, I saw Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussain sitting on the blessed shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
And Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala says, how wonderful, how blessed both of you are that you are riding on the shoulders of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he sees that these shahzadeh, these princes, are riding on the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, you've got a line of people waiting to kiss the Nalani Park of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The shoulders are they're riding on, the blessed shoulders. And he says, look, you know, how blessed you are. And the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam says.
He says, how good of a ride you are on.
Allahu Akbar.
He says, what a beautiful ride.
How wonderful is the ride that you are on. And Akka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, now, to put this into context, honestly, you have to think about it, that you see the ride, but look at the riders.
Subhanallah. How beautiful are the riders.
Ah, how
beautiful. You know, there's a beautiful hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, and you know, sometimes you got to picture this, yeah? He's in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, and this Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sat on the Mimbar Sharif, and he's giving a lecture, khutbah to the Sahaba Ikram. And then he sees Sayyiduna Imam Hassan and Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they walk in the masjid and they fall down. Oh, and they're only little babies, they come and they fall. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came off the mimbar, he took the blessed sons, and then he sat on the mimbar and he says to the Sahaba Ikram that I could not bear patiently anymore until I interrupted my talk and I picked them up.
Allah.
He goes, I couldn't see them falling down, so therefore I have interrupted my talk and I picked them up and now I'm going to start my talk again. Oh. So that is subhanallah. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is you know, teaching the Sahaba ikram, but here, you know, the love of Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hussain radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu was so great that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left the Sahaba ikram and he attended them.
The thing to understand, Hafsab, is this, that the love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for the Hassan Kareeman, Hazrat Imam Hassan, Hazrat Imam Hussain radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, wasn't just limited to the love of a grandfather for his grandchildren, his nawase. It was further than that, because there is a beautiful hadith in Mubarakah in Sunan Ibn Majah that Akka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever loves both of them, referring to Hasan and Kareeman, loves me, and whoever dislikes them, dislikes me.
Allah,
so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is relating the love of these princes to the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah. Because, you know, as we've heard in the Quran, if you love Allah, then you follow me. So where is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who does he love? He loves Imam Hussain and Hassan and Hussain. So if we love Imam Hassan and Hussain, we are loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are also loving Allah azza wa jal. We're talking about our topic today, is the love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ikram had for Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Hussein. You know, before we go on, Harun bhai, let's try to learn some lessons from it as well, because end of the day, why are we talking about this is because we are teaching ourselves, learning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and teaching how we implement, because we've got kids at home, we've mentioned so many waqiyas about love, how can we implement that in our lives?
I said there are two things that we can learn from this. There are many more Madni pearls, but the two main things that come to light is the love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had and showed for these princes. A lot of the time these days, we don't show that love and affection towards our children.
Indeed.
And that's important to see. And there is a very beautiful waqia that Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu says that I came to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night. I had some work, and Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a shawl over them. And it seems like Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got something in the shawl. So I explained what I wanted. And then as I was about to depart, Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved the shawl Mubarak back. And guess who was there? Sat on the laps was Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu. And you know, there is that famous hadith of Mubarakah Shibazai where one of the companions said, Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kissing one of the blessed princes, I think, and somebody said, you kiss them? I've got 9 children, or to that effect, you know, I've never kissed anybody. And Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what am I to do if Allah azza wa jalla hasn't put mercy in your heart? Words to that effect. Now, this is the first thing. One of the lessons we learn is we need to give our children love and affection.
Do.
But at the same time, if you look at the way that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the tarbiyat of Hasanain Kareemain, Shahbaz had mentioned 6 or 7 years.
Do.
But those 6 or 7 years meant that the upbringing that they had was amazing.
Now, when it and it continued to, after
it continued
that.
Continued after the that. But, you know, you had... And the other point that I wanted to make, Shahbaz bhai, is this. It was very simple, that you had a Sahabi of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who in the state of Iman has looked at the beautiful face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, has changed his life, and he has set out and changed the lives of millions. Can you imagine the status of the Shahzadeh who spent 6 or 7 years in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
There's two things I'd like to mention. One, the first thing you mentioned about the Hassan radhiallahu anhu being 8, 7 years old. The Hussein of the Quran who being 6 years old, when the Prophet ﷺ left this world. Now, after the Prophet ﷺ, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, their mother, she only remained alive another 6 months.
Yes.
After that, she also left the world. So mainly it was their father who brought them up.
Yes.
Now, you asked the question, now what do we learn from this?
Yes.
I'll say also two very important things. The first is, yes, show love and affection to your children. You need it. If you're not going to spend time with them, somebody else is. If you're not going to spend time with them, somebody else is, and who is going to be that other person? Is he going to show them that same love that a father can show? Is he going to, you know, try to embed those same characteristics, those same etiquette, you know, those ones of respect, of honoring other people the way the father can? No, he's not. First thing. Secondly is, yes, show love and affection to your children, but keep it within the folds of Islam. You see, nowadays, people think that, yeah, we never got this, so our children should get it. Or we should do this. Yes, that's loving our children. We love our children, we take them to the cinemas. We love our children, we let them do this, mazallah. We let them watch movies that you made. No,
sure.
Within the folds of Islam. The Prophet loved Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein the way nobody else can. This is why you must understand. But, the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? That sadaqah is najais for the family of the Prophet ﷺ. That they cannot take zakat.
Shabazz bhai put us on
very important
thing. You know, there was one thing that, for example, you know, nowadays, you know, we say to them, for khaira, it's our children there. You know, let them do whatever they want. They're only kids. But that's where they start learning from. And, you know, the last waqia that we mentioned was about the apple falling on both of the slates. Yeah. Now, the thing is, how do we react to that kind of a situation? For example, we've got kids and they come to us and they say, whose is better and who isn't better? Sometimes, you know, we might shout to our children, your writing is not better than him. Why? Because you're not spending time. You waste your time. We start shouting at them in front of the other brothers and sisters. And what happens is that other child, you know, if he feels alone and he doesn't have that bond with the father or the mother. And then what happens? They're going to find friends outside. Now, once they get the friends outside, or they go online, that's where the tabai begins. And then we say that, you know, وہ کہتے ہیں کہ پتہ نہیں بچے کو گالی سکھایا کس نے. You do that every day at home. You swear in a life. We mentioned one yesterday that, you know, parents will swear at home, and, you know, then they say, who taught our children to swear?
I've said the thing, the important thing is this, that our children, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi says, they're like a blank sheet of paper. And you can write whatever you want. Now, if you think, and a lot of parents have this, and this is very important to understand this, you know, a lot of valdain think, I want my child to be pious. I want my child to be namazi. I want my child not to lie. I don't want my child to backbite. I want him to have a clean heart. Okay. And I want to teach him that. And I want to teach him that with my tongue. But unfortunately, what the scholars have been right is you cannot teach that child with your tongue. You can only teach him through your actions.
Okay.
If in your house, when it's namaz time, and that child is growing up, he's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. When it comes to time for namaz, everybody's doing wuzu, everybody's laying promise down, you know, everything. That child will grow up thinking, this is the most important and fundamental obligation of deen. So when he goes to the madrasa, and when he gets to 10 and 11, the imam sahib says, on the day of judgment, the first question is going to be in relation to salah. He will understand why my household changes. You know, this is the important thing. You know, if somebody backbites, you were saying about, you know, doing justice between brothers and sisters. What we do, unfortunately, Hafiz Sahib, and it's perhaps not the topic, but I'm just going to slightly kind of mention it to Isharatan. Okay, when one of the children comes to us and says, okay, my brother has done such and such, he might not have done it. What we do is we do not investigate. So we'll give him a slap. He did that, you came crying, I've slapped him. What has he learned? He's learned that I've lied,
his brother got
into trouble. What has he learned? He's learned that he's lied and got away with it. I told the truth and I got hit, yeah? But next time I'm going to do the same.
Yeah.
And gradually, what do we encourage? We encourage lying, backbiting, everything else. Now, you might be asking, okay, what is he supposed to do? Well, sabr se kaam le. Check out, take care, investigate. You know, ask him, what exactly happened? You explain yourself. And then, don't just react. Do the saza that's going to work. Take care. You are grounded, you can't come out of your room, you can't do this, you can't play this. You know, some sort of saza that's going to affect it. A slap around the face doesn't work.
No. Especially nowadays, it doesn't work.
It's not allowed in Islam. You know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think the hadith of Barakah is don't even slap an animal on the face.
Yeah. We're talking about tarbiyat, and I mean, we've learned what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, used to be dealing with the Hasanain Karimain as well, and other children as well. You know, another thing that we see today is that parents, they think that by feeding them, by clothing them, by taking them here, there, and everywhere, they're doing their right. That is not the case. You know, you have to, what about masjid? That is your first right. Bring them to the masjid. Like you said, that if the father comes to the masjid, brings his children, you know, inshallah, azawajal, when they are baligh, you know, they'll know that, look, our dad used to take us to the masjid. So that's where we belong. We need to go to the masjid.
Yeah, I just remembered what he spoke about implementing those things themselves in order to instill it within the children.
Yes.
Say the line. Now, what parents do is they say, don't lie. This is what they say, don't lie.
Tell him
exactly. Somebody's calling, not yet. Or when you go to the school, just tell them this happened.
You know, I was reading something, Shabazz, but what the scholar was saying was, actually, if you do that, where you tell the child one thing, have a sub, but your actions don't, the child grows up to hate you. Why? Because he thinks my dad is a hypocrite. He's saying something to me and he's doing something else. And actually, inside, the child won't express it, but inside, the child starts to hate you because he thinks, hang on a minute, this guy is a hypocrite.
I remember, you know, because we related to the madrasa. We had an incident where a child came to the masjid, and you know, you could see that as soon as he came in, and he said, "There's a problem today with this guy. You know, what is the problem? He's not reading his sabak. He's just put his head down." And we called him and we said, "You know, putar, what's the problem?" He goes, "My dad always keeps blaming me. My little brother and sister, they always get away with things." And he said, "Why? What happened?" He goes, Well, yesterday they broke the glass and they blamed you, and me and my dad came and slapped me. Ra, you're grounded, get into your room now. You know, and like you said, F in this, and you know, istimaz Allah, he starts swearing at his own child.
Allah.
And now what's happened is that child has gone upstairs thinking, I didn't even do anything, but still I got slapped. You know, I've been grounded, I can't do this, I can't do that. Now, that's going to affect his studies as well. You know, if that guy has come to the madrasa, he was like that all day, probably at school as well. You know, so what is he going to learn?
Akhaz Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the tarbiyat of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam from a very early age. Now, the effect of that was that it started early and the grounding was amazing to achieve the great results. What we think, and this is a great fallacy, Shabazz, right, that people, you know, they misunderstand and they kid themselves. So we say that bachche ki tarbiyat starts at 12, 13, 14. Because aksar what they say is, bada ho jayega, theek ho jayega. The problem is, what you're missing out on is the tarbiyat starts straight away. You know, some scholars say that it starts right from the beginning. And you should treat your children with the respect and care that they deserve right from the beginning. And when they're at that age where, you know, even 5, 6, 7, that is very early stages. Whatever you write on that piece of paper at that early stage will stick with him for the rest of his life. Those children, and this is where sometimes the parents, you know, they get over emotional rather than understand. If between 5 and 12, the child is in your care, and you can basically ask it to do whatever you want. They don't back chat to you. They will listen to you. Now, during those ages, you can make that child into anything you want. Anything you want. Lekin aapko mehnat karni hai, but make him whatever you want. You can make him a scholar of the deen. You can make him a namazi. You can make him a reciter of the Quran. You can make his talawat. You can make him a nafan. You can make him whatever you want. But you have to pay attention to him. The problem we have is this. When we give the child time, we want to give him child time when he's 13, 14, 15, 16.
He's not your child.
That's beautifully said. He's not your child. He now doesn't want to be associated with you. He wanted to be associated with you when he was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Now he wants to be with his mates. You had a timeline, you had a window to form his character, to give him the basic characteristics of life. You've missed that opportunity. Now he's going to learn what his mates teach
him. You know, another thing, Harumba, is... you know, you mentioned about, you know, the children's, because we never gave time to them. Another thing that comes into mind is, like I mentioned before, sometimes we think that because we are buying, if they want something, we give up to them. And I'm shocked sometimes to see little kids playing about with mobile phones, you know, and, you know, kids with their own mobile phone, not their parents' mobile phone, their own mobile phone. And all they're doing is just playing games. So now what you are doing, you're giving your child to someone, you're giving them up to the games, you're giving them up to the TV, and then what happens is now you get kindergartens, yeah, because mom and dad are going to work in the morning, and they leave their child 9 o'clock in the kindergarten, they'll come back at 4, all day long, their kids, yeah, even the nappies have been changed by them, they've been fed. So what are these kids, how are they going to grow up? ٹھیک ہے جہاں مجبوری ہوتی ہے نا ویئر آر یو نو ریلیٹیو شوڈ بی آج یہ بھی تو سلسلہ ختم ہے نا یو نو ریلیٹیوز آر نوٹ ایون ٹیکنگ چلڈرن
سو وی ور ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ تربیت اینڈ دی اپ برنگنگ آف دی چلڈرن اینڈ یو کین سی دی امیزنگ اینڈ بیوٹیفل اپ برنگنگ آف حضرت امام حسن رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ حضرت امام حسین رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ یو ول ریمبر دی فیمس واقعہ دیٹ واٹ یو گاٹ ٹو ریمبر یو پٹ اٹ انٹو کانٹیکسٹ شباز بھائی دیز آر دی پرنسز اف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم The Sahaba Ikram, you know, are around them and they give them so much respect and honor. And so, you know, they've grown up in that environment. But the upbringing was very important because they didn't get spoiled. So you remember the famous waqia where the Sahabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing wudu. And Asnan Karimain wanted to kind of correct it. But look at the hikmat and wisdom. And where did they get that from? The upbringing that they had. And they didn't say, you know, you are a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you can't even do wuzu. Look, we're children, we'll show you. No. They said, Hazrat, would you mind if you checked our wuzu? And they sat down and they performed wuzu. And the Sahabi, great illustrious companions, the stars of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he realized straight away what was happening. And he said, your wuzu is perfect,
But inshallah, I will improve mine as well. This was the character that he was given. This is the amazing upbringing he was.
We got a message from one of the viewers. Yeah, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. My daughter saying that my whole school have an iPhone. Why can't I have a phone? Please, can you help us to deal with this situation? So we've told, humne bataya na, that look, kids have got phones today. But what is the solution? What solution can we give to the parents? My kid, they don't have a phone. Yeah, it's not that I can't afford one, it's because they don't need one. And I know they don't need one yet. But,
That's the prime question. Do they need one? If yes, why do they need it? So if you can cater for that, meaning if they need to call their parents during school, which they don't need to, why?
No, they go to school,
they have the
phone,
teachers.
Yeah.
So if the teachers need to contact their parents, they're able to do that.
Gee.
The only other option is that because they want to call their friends, or because they want to watch things on their phone, or play games on their phone. Now, if you send them to school, what do you send them to school for? And if they're going to go to school with phones, then are they going to be able to fulfill that purpose?
Yeah, and so many times I've teachers, yeah, because some, alhamdulillah, we regularly go to schools and say, look, we've confiscated these phones that parents have given them, but we don't know why.
I'm going to be straight with this, yeah? We went to school in this country. We didn't have phones.
No.
Did we ever have a situation where we desperately needed a phone? You know, some parents kid themselves. Oh, mere bache ko phone chahiye.
You need it. In your time, I'm not trying to say, you know, subhanAllah, but in your days, you didn't get phones, so, you know.
Phones weren't as prevalent as they are now. I accept that.
No.
But, you know, we went through schools, universities, colleges, and everything else, yeah? I remember when I was in university, I had no phone. And, you know, people were saying, you haven't got a phone. I didn't need one. And now, children are going to school and taking phones with them, and parents are saying they need them. This is the problem. You know, one person said to me, he said, my kids, whatever they ask for, I give it. I make sure I don't let my kids cry. Right? This is what he said. Mm. You know what I said? He said, you're not letting your kids cry, but they will make you cry.
Indeed. That's very important. You mentioned,
I need them. This is, you could say, the problem, because we think we need something when we say to ourselves we need it. We say we need a phone. That makes us psychologically think that, yeah, we need a phone. If your parents are going to say to you, you need a phone, then how can a, you know,
definitely.
What they need to understand that, you know, if that phone was to be removed from them and they were able to subsist without it, they were able to go about without it, and then they learn that, no, we don't need a phone.
The other thing is, especially with teacher children.
You know, I want to address the person who did send that message, that the first thing is that, you know, ask yourself and ask your child, do you need the phone?
There's one more thing. That do not a child, you could give him candy, you can give him, you know, these sugary sweets and things. But are you going to say to your child that them sweets are good for you? You're going to say that the sweets are not good for you. You say this to children. You say too much sweets are not good for you. Now, at that time, the child does not understand. Is he going to understand how sweets are not good for you? He's not going to. When he becomes older, if you allow him to have sweets for his life and he gets diabetes, then what's going to happen? He's going to blame you, isn't he? Why? Because as your father, it's your duty to make sure that he's not eating too much sweets, for example. Now, similarly, the phone. The phone, right now, the child does not understand.
MashaAllah.
Remove that phone from him. When he's going to be older, he's going to thank you, inshallah.
The most simple misal is, if your child says today, I want to light a fire in my bedroom.
I want to play with fire.
I want to play with fire. Or I want a knife.
Yeah.
You're going to say, well, don't be stupid. The knife can injure you. Or you can't play with fire in your bedroom because it can burn the whole house down. Yeah. Now, an internet, a tablet or a phone in the privacy of the bedroom with an internet connection. We say we've got broadband and I'm paying this much a month. That will set fire to you.
The way it comes down to is, don't give your child everything he asks for.
Do say that sometimes they may ask for something which you can provide, and there's no harm in providing it, but you still said no, so that it teaches the child that they can't have everything they want.
Inshallah, we need to get back to our main topic, but because we need to learn Islam, whatever we know we will. And Islam brother sent a message that my daughter asked for a phone, and I said that you don't need one till 16 or 17 maybe. And he goes that she doesn't ask anymore. And it's all about, you know, I think making the zen. Like you said, Harun bhai, if your son comes up to your daughter and says, Dad, I need a phone. you're going to say, no, you don't need a phone. I don't think that's an answer. Because what's going to happen is they're going to think, well, Abakan Yusuf, Dad doesn't want me to get a phone. Yeah, and then he's going to say, well, everyone else has got a phone. You know, the problem is that, for example, I know it's a very big challenge for me. Because, you know, if my family, myself, I haven't got a phone for my kids. But what about my other relatives? Maybe if their children have got phones, that's going to put a really heavy burden on me because they're going to say, look, our dad's given us a phone. Why does your dad not give a phone? So we need to really make their mindset. If you ask her brother or better, this is why you don't need a phone.
I've got another solution. You know, a lot of the time the excuse that people use is, if I have to call in an emergency, I have to call you and mm-hmm. I have to call that. Yeah? If that's the true position, you can still get the old style phones, which are not the smartphones. And you can dial a number and you can talk to get one of them. Give them a simple phone that just dials and not only that, yeah, put that minimum amount of credit on, so it's a pay as you go.
No, but that may make things, you know, difficult in other ways. For example, you may be humiliated or embarrassed in front of other friends.
Well, don't take it then. And you know, there's the old saying, you know, you're not having it. And when they start moaning, tough, this is it. These are the rules. You know, Shabazz Bey, we often say this, and, you know, Hafizab and I, when we're doing Beyond, that when it comes to things that we don't want our children to have, we're always forceful. When it comes to these sorts of things, why do we go so soft all of a sudden? Be forceful. Say you're not having it. You're living under my roof. You know, when it comes to everything else, yeah, if a pin drops at home, you know what I mean? But when the child doesn't pray Salah, we say, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, that's the problem. In the Grand Shura, Azim Ransari, Dhanz Barakatul Ali says a very beautiful thing. What he says is this. He says, you know, when a child is disobedient to Allah and his beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we never raise an eyebrow. Like in the day the child is disobedient to us, we will start shouting and screaming. Why? When he was disobedient to Allah and his beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we had at that point stopped him and said, no, we are going to act in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah, this is what Allah and his beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want us to do, we would have been fine. We wouldn't have gotten to the stage of disrespecting you. You ignored him then. You ignored the rights of Allah and his Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now the child doesn't want to know your rights. You're trying to teach him parents' rights. It doesn't work that way.
Yasir bhai, mashallah kalam.
Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
آپ کی نسبت اے نالا
Thank you. All right.
Beautiful topic today we're discussing.
Look at the love and affection that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Hazrat Imam Hassan Hazrat Imam Hussain.
See, a lot of Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel will be thinking right now that we've given a lot of Madni pearls in relation to how to bring up a child, but practically, how do you do it? So, Mira Sunan Dhamma Barakatma Ghali gives us some practical tips, and then I'm going to mention the main thing. First of all, you fulfill their fair desires and be balanced. Don't go overboard. Moderation. Then instill in them good habits and listen to them. Even if you're not going to, you know, carry out what they want, at least give them the dignity of listening to them. That way the child knows at least I can speak to my parents. A lot of parents don't. Then you should give them gifts, which is the hadith of Barakat. Give them gifts and make sure that the Almighty is right. That it is a reward for the good things they do. For example, what is written is this: if they offer their salah, if they read their Quran regularly, if they act upon good Madani etiquette, then give them a gift. So the child associates, as he's growing up, a good deed with reward. And it has an amazing effect on the child. Because he knows, if I did wrong, I will be talked to in a stringent manner, I will have consequences. But look, when I do good, I get a reward. You know, and it comes back to the old concepts of, you know, reading salah and getting the bag of sugar under the masala, you know, that sort of Islamic thinking. Then it goes on. If the child does make a mistake, do not stay calm. What we do is we react, and the child then doesn't understand what's happened. Give him understanding. Explain to him what's going on. We often start shouting. They don't understand. You know, a four-year-old breaks a glass, yeah, and there's no benefit in you screaming and shouting at them. It doesn't work.
It's not going to bring the glass back, is it?
It's not going to bring the glass back, and you're trying to get your own frustration out. You don't get so. Be calm. Explain to the child. And as he grows up, he will have more respect for you. A lot of viewers of Madni Channel and a lot of brothers will be thinking, okay, you've given us all these things that are ideal, but it's not easy to achieve them. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, this is where we can help, because in the beautiful environment of Dawat Islami, there is a Madni mahal, there's a Madni environment. You might be thinking, how do I get that Madni environment? Well, if you take your children to the Thursday Easter Mass, if you take your daughters from the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, and you're the mother of your children takes them to the Sisters Easter Mass, and does it regularly, every week, to listen to the Bayan, to get the mahal, then you travel in the Madni Kafras with your son regularly. You will pick up the good habits. You will pick up the beautiful etiquette that Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. You know, if you want your children to be like and following the footsteps of Hazrat Imam Ali Maqam, Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and you think, well, I might not be able to teach them, let the beautiful environment of Dawat Islami teach them. There is, you know, the madrasas, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, Madani channel. Try and say to your children, okay, you have to watch Madani channel every day, even if it's, you know, X amount of time, even if it's 19 minutes.
Her only question, we've tried everything. They don't listen, man. We're fed up with them. What do you do now?
Bring them to the Ishtamas. What the best of them?
But they don't come. You said that tarbiyat would have been from the beginning, innit?
Yeah.
Now, if they're 13, 14 years old, how can you bring them to the Ishtamas?
Okay. The only solution to that is now, if you've not fulfilled what you should have done in your duties, and the child is past that age, he's 15, 16, he doesn't listen to you anymore. The only way that you can change it is khud badale. khud badle and make dua for him regularly. Yeah. You come into the beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami, you pray your namaz, you become act upon the sunnahs of Rasulullah, and then subah shab, pray for him.
Like you said, very important is that you got to be a role model for them. You got to lead the way. It's no good saying, mare putre ki rijao kafle par. It's your akal sahau. Yeah, and what does the father need to know? He needs to know a lot of things as well. But it's always, take my son, I'm too busy at work.
No, but they've already put you on the defense. We often get this, where people, here's my son, and you think, well, you know, I'll introduce myself and I'll get to know him. And before you've done anything, Walisab has already ditched him. He's like this, he does that. In the kamma, and bichara, he's so embarrassed now, he's embarrassed to even talk to you or open up to you.
Another big problem which we face is parents telling their child, Maulvi Marthiya. The Maulvi is going to hit you. I've had this
very good, a lot of times.
And you get women, this is when I was in Pakistan, and this is what, I went to a market, and this is what the woman said to her child, that the Maulvi is there. So if they're going to fear them, how can you expect for that child to go there for the fear?
Mm-hmm.
How can you expect that? So one first problem is, do not make your children fear them.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, do not make them fear nothing which is associated to the religion.
Mm-hmm.
They should be enjoying it. This is a problem.
And there's a very
nowadays, we seek enjoyment in everything. Why can they not enjoy the religion? Who said they cannot enjoy
it? There's one other point that's very, very important that from what you mentioned. A lot of the time in our households as well, this is hibat at its extreme, but we backbite the imam or the teachers from the masajid. That the effect that has on the child is really, you cannot estimate it, because the child starts to dislike the very source from which that child is going to gain knowledge of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, bachpan se agar in his mind, this person in the masjid with a dari sharif and an imama sharif is almost the worst person that you can find. All his life he's going to grow up to hate the things that he should be loving. So be very careful. No matter what happens, never, never, never in front of your child mention anything bad either about the masajid or the imams or the teachers. Do never do it, because you are throwing your children into a pit. Because these are the people, when it comes to the birth of the child, Maulvi sahab ki bloji azana hai. When it comes to the akika, it's imam sahab. When it comes to juma, it's imam sahab. When it comes to nikah, it's imam sahab. When it comes to janaza, it's imam sahab. Everything in our lives evolves around imam sahab. But then that hasti that is central to our lives, we are corrupting our child's belief in that hasti. Why? We should be honoring and respecting these people and teaching our children that these, out of all the people you're going to meet, these are the most important people. Why? Because they're going to teach you the deen of Islam.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. I've had, mashallah, some text messages coming through that mashallah, you're enjoying this silsila. And this is why we have this silsila, is so that as a family we can learn. We've only got a couple of minutes left. We'll start from the right side. Last few words, and then we can close the chapter.
I think, Hafsab, what we've discussed today, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had so much love for Hazrat Imam Hassan, Hazrat Imam Hussain, and from the very Hadith Mubarakah, it's quite clear that we should have that love. And one of the ways of increasing our love for Hazrat Imam Ali Muqam, Hazrat Imam Hussain, Hazrat Imam Hassan, is to learn about their beautiful lives and how every moment of their lives was for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their upbringing, and to try and copy that. It's simple, easy enough to say, you know, we love the Ahlul Bayt. But one of the things we need to do is follow in their footsteps and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that we need to implement when bringing up our children as well.
MashaAllah. Any last words?
I think there's one thing you want to take away is spend more time with your children.
SubhanAllah.
Get to know your children before it's too late. You don't know them no more.
MashaAllah. Last beautiful advices from both of you, Islam brothers. Allah Ta'ala reward you. And may Allah Ta'ala keep our children safe and keep their iman safe as well. And give us all death in Medina with shahadat.
Ameen. Iman
Ameen. Inshallah. Ameen. And dear Islam brothers, alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. A very beautiful and important topic. And the messages that I've been getting was that, Islam brothers, and viewers of Madani channel light, especially the parenting side, because then the day, We're not just going to talk about the lives and not learn from them. And alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the life of Hazrat Sayyidina Imam Hasan Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So tomorrow we're going to be learning about the lives, his taqwa, his ibadat, his conduct, alhamdulillah, and how he grew up. And please, you know, I request you tomorrow, when we start the topic, we should start our silsila. Have your children with you, inshallah, they learn a lot from the life of Sayyidina Imam Hasan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. From all of us in the studio, please take care of yourself. And mashallah, tomorrow will be work, will be school. So please remember the topic that we are discussing and inshallah try to implement it. Sallu ala al-habib.
Salam be upon the ones who sacrificed their lives at Karbala. Salam be upon the ones